Just say Jesus. Standing on this mountaintop, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory was your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say.
often finds a home. Lord, here we are, oh, teach us to love mercy with humble heart. We bow down at your throne. Oh, so
cause it ain't welcome anymore. Ooh. Thank you.
Thank you. swamp, eat the name of Jesus. Till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
Hallelujah. the name of Jesus this morning. Come on, over your situation today, speak the name of Jesus. Speak the name of Jesus over your family. Come on. Speak the name of Jesus over your body today. Come on. Lift up your hands and love Him in this place. Hallelujah. 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 We worship You, God. We worship You, God. Father, in the name of Jesus, mighty and strong today, we come to You, Lord. Thanksgiving in our hearts, God. God, we recognize that without You, we are nothing. Without You, we're nothing. And so we come to You today, God, and we bring our situations to You, Lord. We bring our sicknesses to You, Lord. We bring our diseases to You, Lord. We bring our emotional hardships and difficulties to You, Lord. In the name of Jesus, knowing that at the name of Jesus, the Bible declares, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless You today, God. We bless You today. In Jesus' name. I wonder if you're standing in this auditorium today and you're challenged by a situation in your body. You're challenged by a situation in your family. How many of you like that line, Jesus for my family? Come on. I mean, come on. Jesus for my family. Come on. You're challenged by a situation and you're not afraid to say, Pastor, that's me this morning. I want you to raise up your hand because I want somebody close to you. Come on, you see the hands raised. I want somebody close to you just to slip over next to them. Come on, turn this building into an altar today. Slip over close to them. Lay your hands on them. We're going to sing that song again. Lay your hand on them. Let's believe God. The Bible says, if any two shall agree as touching any one thing, that it shall be done. Come on, slip over to somebody with a hand raised. There you go. Slip over to somebody with a hand raised and let's believe God together. Come on, Jesus for my family. Hallelujah. Come on, sing it, would you? For what He's done today. Come on. Hallelujah. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Burn like like a fire. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord today. Thank you so much for being a part of our worship service, whether you're here today or whether you're watching online. We're so glad you're here. So glad you've entered into the presence of God with us to just magnify His name, to lift Him up. Amen? To lift Him up. And so we greet you today. If you're here as a guest, thank you for being a part of Carpenter Shop International Church. At the end of the service, you can go by our guest center in the foyer. We'd like to have a record of your visit today, and we have a free gift for you. So please stop by if you're a first-time guest today. If you're watching online, hey, just click it in the feed there. Hey, I'm a first-timer. And share the broadcast. Man, I love to watch each week and see who the newcomers are, even on the online campus. We're so glad that you've joined us. And then thank you so much to those who are regular participants in our giving that takes this service, somebody say this service, to 182 nations of the earth. Amen. Praise God. We've been extended an invitation. Eric Smith and others on the team that are working with one of the largest churches in Lahore, Pakistan, invited us to preach for him on April the 11th to an audience, come on now, of 15,000 people in a crusade. We get to preach to them right from this church. Amen. Amen. So we're excited about that. Thank you for giving to missions. Thank you for spreading the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ into territories that we never thought we'd be able to possibly reach. So we're glad you're here today. God bless you. And now it's time for our giving. It's a different way to worship the Lord with our substance. Praise the Lord. God is good, isn't He? So we offer you an opportunity. You can come and present your offering in the buckets here on the altar. Also, if you'd like to give, you can do so by text. You can give online. Give on our church app. God bless you as you give today. I'd like to invite our youth directors, Julie Raska. If you would give Julie a hand, would you? Her and Abdul. Come on up here, guys. Praise the Lord. There's nothing like after you've been working all week, put in 40 or 50 hours, to top off your weekend by loading up with a bunch of kids and heading to a fine arts festival. Come on. Amen. Somebody's got to do it. So I'd like for them to just share with you their experience the last couple of days and some great news today, too. God bless you.
Can I have our youth join us up on stage, too? So we left Friday morning at 7 o'clock and went to Concord. All six of these kids. Actually, Ava is not here with us. She had a hair appointment this morning, so she is not here. But, so we had competed in, hold on, I want to get the categories correct. T-shirt design, I know for sure. And then solo dance was Reese. And then Shelby and Reese did their Ladere dance. So it was worship dance solo, worship dance small group. And so we are going to Nationals for Ladere's dance. And Reese is going to Nationals for her solo dance. And we got merited in both of those categories. And Reese is also going to Nationals for her t-shirt design. Can you turn around, Reese, so they can see your t-shirt? And then Jalen designed this t-shirt, Be Still and Know That I Am God. And Logan designed Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. But the most amazing thing this weekend was seeing all of the kids in their gifts. So Reese attended a class to figure out your calling and your gifts. And so she learned a lot from that. She took a lot of notes. She asked questions after. And little Ella, she competed. This year was the first time that they have added our kids with the youth. And so it was to allow the youth to minister to the younger kids and allow the younger kids to ask questions. And so going forward, Fine Arts will be like that. And they have challenged our youth to reach out to the younger generation and minister to them and rise them up in Fine Arts. There were moments over the past 2 days where I seen a few of our youth praying for people, for youth that were nervous to compete. They just turned and said, "Let me pray for you." They volunteered to serve with the younger kids. So our youth here at Carpenter Shop are amazing youth, and they are our future that we need to continue to invest in. And so I thank you all for your support for our fundraisers, and as we continue to fundraise and just train them up in the way that they will go with the Lord. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Continue to pray for our young people serving the Lord in these critical times in which we live. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, we're excited about starting a new series today. It's the month of April. Come on, somebody. It's passing by. And we are looking forward to sharing with you a series that we've entitled Take a Walk. Come on. Look at your neighbor. Tell them, take a walk. Take a walk. This is about following Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're working our way up through the busyness of this season. Let me just inform you that as a body of believers, better yet, as Christ followers, that the most opportune time, it's the easiest, it's the best, it's the way that you can see results from sharing the gospel better this time of the year than any other time. It's like the truth of the gospel is just received more freely this time of year. And listen, I know it means nothing on God's timetable. I understand that, because God's not worried about our calendar. But I want to submit to you that it is the greatest opportunity. Church growth people will tell you, from now right on through to the end of summer, people are more open to the gospel than any other time. And it's kind of because it's a shift from the winter season. The trees have all been stripped of their vegetation, turned that beautiful foliage into just a dark brown, and they fell to the ground. And now the season comes when everything emerges brand new. You say, yeah, like pollen on my car. Come on, anybody? Right. It's out there, friends. New life will emerge. Colors will abound. Pollen will be so thick you could put it in a pile on your hood. And the flowers are making their grand appearance. Because why? Because it's a new season. It's a new season. And in the spiritual sense, we work our way towards the holiest of all of our holy days, our holidays in the kingdom of God, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the passion time, the passion week. Unless we need to be reminded, it's the very life of Jesus that even marks our calendars. We look at our calendars on our phone or on the wall. It's the life of Jesus that marks that. Because guess what? Today, it's April 3rd, 2022 AD, Anno Domini. And if it was 2022 years ago, you would switch those letters to what? BC, because it would be before Christ. Okay? So it's Jesus Christ. Think about it. The central figure of the world, the central figure of all of creation that marks the calendar. It's how we keep up with time. And it's this season that pastors and churches are blowing up social media. I saw it just in the last couple of days. People are blowing up social media and getting ready for Easter egg hunts and outreaches and Good Friday services and sunrise services, which, by the way, we have our annual one at Beechwood Country Club this year. Going to be a beautiful time together. And so social media is being blown up with all of these advertisements, and people are listening. And here's the best time of the year for you to invite someone. You know, statistics tell us that if you'd invite somebody, they'd probably come. And so sometimes the greatest failure that we make is that we just don't ask somebody to come with us. And the world, the human race needs a Savior. Why? Because we've been cut off. Somebody say cut off. We've been cut off in our relationship with the Creator because of sin, even when we're born. Take a walk with me. Take a walk with me this morning. Take a walk with us in the month of October, and let's zero in. Let's take a walk down the Roman road of salvation this morning, and you'll answer the question, why, concerning Jesus Christ. First of all, it's Romans 3:23, number one. Romans 3:23. It says simply this, for all have sinned. Listen, if you catch this morning, you'll be able to adequately share the gospel message with anybody in the world. I remember when I first got saved. I remember getting a Bible, a brand new one. I've had it covered like three times now. But I remember getting my little 1995 New International Version Bible. And I remember writing down in the front of it the Roman road, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 10, 9, and 10. And I committed those things to memory because I was on fire for the Lord Jesus and I wanted to be able to share the gospel with anyone at any time. And so I didn't have to have my Bible. I committed it to my mind, my heart, and my spirit. Romans 3:23 says this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Last week we mentioned it to you in the shepherd message. Remember when we talked about God's name, Jehovah Raha, shepherd of the sheep that go Baha. Come on, anybody with me? We remember that. You'll never forget it. You'll say, my pastor said, Jehovah Rapha, shepherd of the sheep that go Baha. Where'd you learn that from? Bible college. Okay. I had to go to Bible college to learn such deep, profound truths. Wow. But it was Isaiah who prophesied in Isaiah 53, verse number 6. We mentioned it last week. That all we, say all we, every one of us, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. And so he compares all of humanity to the ignorance of a sheep that just wanders off. He needs a shepherd. All we like sheep have gone astray, and each one of us has turned to our own way. Remember when you live life your own way? It's very selfish. Remember when you did what you wanted to do? Remember those days when you just, you know, I just remember times in my terrible years when I would just, you know, just go and hang out and party and get with the wrong people. And then I remember waking up in the morning and seeing the ceiling of my bedroom and thinking, man, when did I get here? Who brought me here? Do my parents know where I was last night? And I was always afraid every day when I would wake up. My mom would say, good morning. And I thought, oh, she doesn't know. Good morning. Did you sleep good? That's not what I thought she was going to be asking me. Yeah, I slept good. And I thought, how did I get here? And then I go peep out the door to see if my truck was in the yard, because I had no idea. And if my truck is in the yard, how did it get there? Who drove it? Me, I suppose. Those former days. But you know what? I don't have to worry about those former days, because the shepherd of my soul beckoned me to come to him. And I gave him my life, and he's freed me from all of those things. Amen. All we like sheep we've gone astray. And I remember as a stray sheep myself coming to Christ through the relationship with my wife. I was dating her, and she led me to Jesus. All of us are born in sin. King David said it like this, Psalm 51, verse 5. He said, surely I was sinful when at birth. Sinful from the time my mother conceived me. I love the Greek word here for sin. It's hamartia. Get a picture of it. It's an archery term. Hamartia in the Greek language, the original language, is like an archery term. It's like you're in your life, you're pulling back the bow, you see, and you're letting it go, but oops, I hit the wrong target. It's not God's target for you to live the way you live. That's not what God's target is for you. And so harmartia is what? Missing the mark. You really wanted to hit it right in the bullseye, didn't you? Right in the heart of God. But you missed the mark. It's harmartia. It's sin. Occurs hundreds of times in the Bible, that word in the New Testament. And forms of it. I missed the mark. Adam had one rule when he was in the garden. One stinking rule, okay? Not a list. Just don't, Adam. Just don't eat of the tree, of the fruit from the tree that's in the midst of the garden. Don't do that. Don't touch this. Come on. But he did. Just one rule. Can't you just keep one rule? The answer is no. Why? Because you're selfish. And so Adam sinned. And sin has a payoff, which leads me to my second point. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God. Come on. The gift of God. Listen, if you don't know this, I'd be writing it down on something. You may not have a Bible in your hand. We use so many portable things today. But make a note. Number one is all are sinners. Number two is but the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sin has a payoff. Sin has wages. Sin has a penalty. It is spiritual death. You are cut off from relationship with God who created you. But God, who is rich in what? Mercy, gave you the gift to deal with the sin problem. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 9, it reads like this. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive. Check this out. Come on now. Made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. For it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him. Notice now we're in relationship with him. We're seated with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us. How? In Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and that it is not from yourselves. Again, it's the gift of God. You can't do anything to earn your way. You don't have enough money to get in. You can't do enough good deeds to get in. You can't. It is by grace you have been saved. And you won't be able to get into heaven and boast about having anything to do with getting there. Not of works, lest any man could boast. So then all of us were born in sin, step one. And the wages of sin is death, step two. And we must understand our sinful state, and we must understand our consequences, and we must understand our means of dealing with sin simply comes through repentance. What is repentance? Well, repentance is literally simply quite a change of your mind. And I know the critical person jumps up and says, yeah, but it's really about the heart. No, no, no. What is your soul? It is your mind, your will, and then you can go inside and the seat of all your emotions in your heart. So it's a combination. It is literally a change of mind. In other words, here it is like this. I was going this way, and all of a sudden, I've had a God moment, and I am changing my mind. I'm going this way. It's a total turnaround. Amen? It's a total turnaround, a change of mind. I've changed my mind. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. See, people want to judge you on what they see about you. They want to judge you on the exterior. We have a funeral today at 2 o'clock. Gregory Glenn Goss. Greg Goss. You don't have the right, neither do I, to judge Greg Goss or any person and say, well, I don't know about him. I saw him do that. I saw him do that. No, you don't have any right to judge a person. Because Greg Goss made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and made sure that his account was settled with just a heart balance before he passed away. Okay? So you don't have the right to say, well, is he here or is he there? It's by grace that he was saved through faith. Okay? Do you want to be judged on your performance? If I judged you on your performance, I'd give some of you a 50. Okay? You know why? Because 50% of the time you ain't here. Okay? Come on. I'm just telling you, okay? I'm the teacher, right? I got a right to say that. I say, well, I wasn't here last month. I wasn't here last week, Pastor, because, you know, we were playing softball. Well, that's all well and good. Play softball after church, okay? So if I judged you and said, well, I'll give you a 50. Why are you going to judge me 50? Because you're here about 50% of the time. And even if I judged it on church attendance, which is not fair at all. That's not fair. You can't judge it on attendance. You can sit in the building and not have your heart right with God. If you throw me into a garage, am I proclaimed a car or a truck? No. It's all about your heart. And so here it is. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved despite what your friends think. Okay? Despite what your friends think. For it is with your heart that you believe and you're justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and you're saved. Did you know the Bible says, Paul said in one of his letters that it's absolutely impossible for you to proclaim that you're a child of God unless you are. That's why I never ask anybody this question. Hey, are you, if you knew that you were going to die tonight, are you confident that you'd go to heaven? Yeah. No. You know what I say to people? I say, hey, James, talk to me about your faith. Don't give them any questions, because questions are too easy to just say, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're a Christian? Yeah. No. Talk to me about your faith. Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth will speak. So if I say to you, James, talk to me about your faith, you don't have time to sit down and listen to James, because he's got a long story about faith. He can talk to you about times in the tractor, times in the field, times in the mill of the steel. He can talk to you about moments. Listen, the same is true for me. If you say, Wallace, talk to me about your faith. Oh, you don't have time, man. I can tell you about all the ups and downs and the valleys and the hills and the lessons learned and the mistakes made. And, oh, God has done an incredible thing in my life. Out of the abundance of the heart. So never ask anybody, are you a Christian? Because it's too easy just to get off with a, sure. And there may not be anything there at all. Talk to me about your faith. And it is out of that heart that will spring up the realities of Romans 10, 9, and 10. They will be able to declare with their mouth, Jesus is Lord. I hope you're learning something here this morning. John the Apostle said this, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. But if we confess our sins, again, how? With the mouth, if we confess, like Paul said to the church at Rome, if you confess with your mouth, then he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Take a walk. Take that walk with me this morning. If you're watching online and you've never taken that walk before, take that walk today. Walk to the Savior. Walk the Roman road. Take the walk down to this altar today. Receive Christ. Come on down to the altar of salvation. As a matter of fact, if you're here today, let's everybody just stand just for a moment and give room for somebody who may need to get out of the aisle. If you're here today, Pastor, you've made it so easy, it's too good to be true. I just want to step out of my seat and come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Maybe you've made some mistakes. Maybe you've blown it. Maybe you missed the mark. Are you listening to me? Maybe you pulled back the bow in your life and for years you've been releasing the arrows in the wrong direction. But today, somebody say today. Today you want to hit the right target. Come on, step out of your seat right where you are. Just don't take but a minute. We're not going to waste any time. If you're here, Pastor, I want to get it right. Just step out of your seat quickly. Just come quickly. Come quickly. Anyone. Salvation is for you. Just come. Just come. Come on down. The price is right. Amen? Just come on down. Someone will meet you here and pray with you. Praise God. God bless you, my dear. Someone pray with this dear lady. If you just want to make it right, just come. Just come. Many have done so. Many have taken that walk. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Man, I've taken about 10 or 12 minutes of your time today in just a simple, short message. And I did it intentionally because I have other things I want to share with you today. Just a simple start to this month. Take a walk. Come to Carpenter Shop, guys. Our pastor's preaching a series this month called Take a Walk. You've got opportunities to invite. You've got opportunities to beckon others to come. Come take a walk. Come take a walk with me to church next Sunday. You can do it. Let's believe God for the salvation of men and women, boys and girls, in Jesus' name. You can be seated in his presence. Praise the Lord. Such a beautiful thing to come to worship today and see a busy weekend for our young people who are away trying to cultivate their giftings and their abilities and use them. You know, I just declare every one of you are winners. You are. It's tough to go before judges. Amen. It is. And just to let you know, they're tougher in Concord than anywhere in the part of the state. They're tough judges there. And excellence is way up high. So it just gives you something to strive for next year. And I wish you well as you take your gifts to nationals. And let's believe that we'll be victorious there on the national level, which means a college scholarship. Amen. Amen. Come on. It means a college scholarship. Such a beautiful thing to see young people engaged. Such a beautiful thing to see not so young people engaged. Amen. This past week or 10 days, we've had four men that you sent on a journey to Africa. And it's been a beautiful thing to just keep up with them on a daily basis. And I've done FaceTime with Pastor Mike several times. 5-hour time difference. So every day, just got a good report. God's doing incredible things. And it's just such a blessing to see that in the world today, it's still possible to raise up a sanctuary and pack it to capacity in the first service. Just one time. Okay, hey, the church is open and it's filled. All right. Build it and they will come, said Kevin Costner. Amen. Build it and they will come. So Pastor Mike's coming now. And as he's coming, let me just share with you. Let's just walk through these as he's coming to the platform today. And he's going to introduce his team to you. So here, this is what they showed up to. Okay, the trees are cut down. Just go ahead to the next one. The trees are cut down and there had to be holes dug because how many of you know you can't mount a steel beam on dirt? You got to have footers in the ground. And so they got footers in the ground. They got ready people there to help and to serve. And then the building starts going up, a fabricated steel building attached to those pillars. You can see the cement sticking out of the ground. Just keep on going there. Little by little, it's getting bigger and better. Look at the workers that they have. And then the roof starts going on, the top of it, just a matter of a couple of days, constructing a church. And now we're moving to the completion of it. And the first night that it was completed, was it Friday night, Pastor Mike? Friday night it was completed. Hey, guys, let's have a service. You know, no newspaper, no radio advertising. Let's have a service. And guess what happens? They fill it to capacity. Here's your team right here. And what an incredible time. Just keep on scrolling through. There's Roger there. There's Kevin. You support him on missions. There's Joel preaching at an AG church on Sunday morning. There's the team again. hot, man, hot on the ground. Amen. Come on, Pastor Mike. God bless you, sir.
We did have a wonderful team. You can be proud of them. They did some magnificent work for the kingdom. Rogier is what they call Roger in French. Rogier is not here with us this morning. Dawn had to work, so he took her mother to the church where she goes to, so that's why he's not present. But I can tell you that they'll remember him long after they forget me. He won their hearts everywhere he went. I remember the first day we were in the village, when we arrived in the village, the chief just basically, they were the same age. And the chief of he's actually the interim chief, but the chief of the village just embraced Roger and, and they were just connected. And Roger connected with everyone and with the children. He preached in a church on Sunday. I think he shared a message five times Sunday morning in five different groups of children and youth. So over and over and over. And he saw hundreds and got to minister to hundreds of children. He laid hands on sick people and they were healed. Amen. Amen. He told me he'd used his faith like he'd never used it before. He made us proud. He really did. And then now, Joel, come on up here. I told these men that I would never take them back to build another church. Now, you think I'm upset about that. No, I told them they were all team builders, and I expected them to take teams of their own, that they didn't need me. This man is fixing to take a team, and he's looking in this house to organize that team. I promised him I would never pull another team together out of this house. It was up to him to pull them together now. I'm going somewhere else and look for teams. But he's going to be on you like a dog on a pork chop. He's already made a list. He's already running names through his mind, and he's already made a list. So if you don't want to go, you better run every time he gets close to you. I've asked him this morning to share what really stands out in his mind the very most about what he experienced. So, here you go, buddy.
When I went to Africa with Mike, the thing I was looking for was the hunger, the fire, the Holy Spirit. There is nothing like going to a village that's never heard of Jesus and seeing that light turn on. And it's outstanding. The thing that stands out in my mind most was the first night, Thursday night, when we put the red metal, they call it up there, the red steel, before we put the roof on. We preached that night. Mike preached. We come up there, and there was this little boy, I don't know, Mike, what, 12, 15 years old, something like that. His left eye was gray. Couldn't see out of it. So he came to Mike, wanted to pray. Me and Mike prayed over him, laid hands on him. Mike told him to come back the next day. We looked for him that day. We didn't see him to the service that night. When he come back, he still didn't have any sight in that eye. So we laid hands on him and prayed. Before we left there, that eye was turning from gray to brown, and the little boy could start to see out of that eye. Just amazing about the Lord. I've seen Mike the first night. Mike prayed for rain, told him it was going to rain. For 3 days straight, it rained every night. It rained so much that we were supposed to go to another church. We couldn't get there because the road was impassable. Thank you, Pastor. But the fire, over there and the miracles I have seen over there is unexplainable, unexplainable. If you go once, you'll have a whole new feeling for the Lord. So I'm coming to you guys. Don't run, because I can run a little bit fast now that I've been over there. So one thing I want to do is say thank you from the bottom of my heart, bud. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. This is was a real pleasure for me. And when I think about what I was, the most impressive thing that I saw, on that first night when I did declare it would rain before I got on the plane. And we went to the hotel, which was an hour away, and it rained that night at the hotel. And I said, and everybody, you know, somebody brought it up, said, y'all hear the rain? I said, I did. I said, but that wasn't what I saw when God told me it was going to rain. I said, we don't have any mud holes here, but we did get a shower. And on the way into the village, there were the mud holes. And there was excitement. On the first night, we laid hands on everybody that was there present that night. I really didn't preach. I just was led by the Spirit not to preach. And I had our men, we had everybody file through. And people, actually the line kept growing and growing. Because what happened was, the people that I first called forward and they lined up, once they got prayed for, they went back in the village and they told other people. And the line got longer and longer and longer. And as I laid up my hands on one woman in particular, I could sense that there was an emptiness in her life because she'd never been able to conceive a child. And so after we finished laying hands on everybody, I called out a couple different things. And that one thing was that there's somebody here who's been married for a while. There's a married couple here who's been married for a while, and you have not been able to conceive a child. And the woman that, there, one woman came up, and it wasn't the woman I thought it was going to be. And she told me that I talked to her, and they had been married since 2012. And her husband, I said, is your husband here? And she said, no, he's not. He's at home. And something happened, occurred with me that I'd never experienced before. And the Lord told me to send her home, not to pray. And it wasn't easy. But I told her, I said, come back tomorrow night and bring your husband. Can you do that? Can you come back tomorrow night and bring your husband? And she said she would. Well, by that time, a couple had come up, which was the woman that I was looking for. And so we prayed for them. They, too, had been a long time married and not been able to conceive a child. Now, I would like to have both people there, first of all, because, you know, the problem can be on either side. So the second night, we did get an overflow crowd because it did rain, and it rained big time. Matter of fact, it rained every day we were there from that point on. Every city we went to, it rained. And, you know, it did get too wet to get the truck up a muddy hill. But when we did the mass prayer, we saw the former chief, the chief who died just a month or so ago, his first wife. Chief had three wives. But, you know, we're in with pagan religion here now. So he had three wives. She had started experiencing blindness since January, and it had continued to get worse. She was healed in the crowd. The woman that had fed us supper that night was believing that somebody was going to pray for her because she'd had a migraine headache for 3 days, and she brought us into her home and prepared us a meal and fed us a meal. Well, she got healed in the service. There was a man who was hurt in an accident. He was on a motorcycle, hurt in an accident, broke his shoulder and messed up his knee. He was healed. There were dozens healed, all in one prayer. And as we were praying for some that had not been healed in that prayer, Kevin's and Mariah, who are missionaries here from North Carolina, she came up to me and she said, "The lady that you told to come back is here, but she couldn't get her husband to come. What do you want me to do?" I said, "I'll pray for her now. Tell her to come on up. I'll pray for her now." And so I never saw him. I never saw the couple. So I asked Mariah, I said, "Where is the lady?" And she said, "I don't know. I told her what you said." Well, then at the very end, she came forward with her husband. She had gone home, convinced him to come, and he came. So I prayed for him. After I prayed for him, I just moved right on to somebody else. What I didn't know till after the service was, because I don't understand French, first of all, but certainly don't understand Yakuba, and that's the language he was speaking in. So it had to go through two interpreters and then get back to English. But so I was just busy somewhere else. But the man said that he wanted to give his heart to Jesus. And Pastor Brent led that man to the Lord. That was why God had delayed me. Roger brought T-shirts out of his wardrobe, out of his clothes that he had at home, just different. Some of them were like basketball players and football players and that kind of thing. And he had about a dozen T-shirts. Now, when you go to a place like that, you can't just start giving out things or you'll start a riot. And I had warned him about that. So Roger gave them to our Yakuba interpreter. He is a professor who teaches French, but he doesn't understand English. He teaches French and German, but he is a native from that village where speaks Yakuba. He's saved. And so Roger gave him the T-shirts. He passed them out to some of the volunteers who helped us work on the project. Every one of them got saved. ...860 people live in this village, and we minister to over 600 of them. The church is full. The children need a building of their own, because there's over 300 children there. It's a wonderful thing that what you've done. You have made eternal difference in the lives of a little village that is not even on the map, Lamaplu. That village is surrounded by 9 other villages. It's in the center of 9 other villages. And that is where the evangelistic team will begin going to the other villages. We know and we've declared and we have proven it by the blessing of God poured out in rain that they would be a city on the hill. That people would come there to them. And I'm waiting to hear about the rest of the salvations, but there's one thing I'm looking forward to hearing. Is when they have an idol in the middle of the village where they do their witchcraft or have been doing witchcraft. I walked right by it and I cursed it. It's a tree. Its roots are up off the ground and it's kind of hollow at the bottom. And then they've got rocks piled there and they put fires in there and that's where they worship. It's coming down. It's coming down. By the power of God, it's coming down. And that village will never go back because they have seen an outpouring of God because men just went to put up a building. No, it was more than that. We went with the intention of seeing the results that we got. You can be proud of your men. You can be proud of the work they've done. But yet, you can be proud that they have given of themselves to spread the gospel. You know, I believe everybody needs to be involved in world missions at some level. If you can't go, send. But don't think you can't go. And I was hoping that Roger would share that, because, see, first Roger's first comments to me was, "Do you think I will be any help to you?" Yeah, he was a whole lot of help. Absolutely. Almost 80 years old. And he worked like everybody else did. So you can be proud of him. Look for Joel to grab you. He preached. Let me tell you something. I recorded a portion of Joel's message. I was going to a different church, but they were going to scoop me out at the last minute and carry me to a different church. But I did record a portion of his message. He was getting amens and applause. He was doing a fantastic job. And I'm proud to have them there with me. And I know they're going to keep on doing greater things for the kingdom. Amen.
Praise God. And thank you, Carpenter Shop International Church, for being a missions church. Amen. Amen. Such an awesome opportunity. Let's just stand together as we prepare to leave today. Praise God. If you have a special need, please don't leave the building until you come and allow somebody to pray with you today. If you have a special need, we'd love to pray with you. Father, in Jesus' name, we just come before you today with gratitude. Gratitude in our hearts, Lord. Thank you for our young people. Thank you, God, for seeds that are sprouting and growing up in their lives and their spirits. Father, continue to work in them and through them in Jesus' name. Thank you for our men, God, who are willing to say, "I want to go, I want to serve, I want to build, I want to preach." And Lord, I pray that you continue to allow others to do the same. Igniting a fire, Lord, inside that will never burn out. And Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, that your hand is upon our lives. We desire to serve you. We desire to serve you and your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Fellowship among yourselves. Service today at 2:00 for Gregory Goss. God bless you guys.